Hello there, and welcome to another episode of the Designated Pundits. I'm Bob, here joined by my co-host Scott and guest Jeremy Peterman to make some great picks. MLS Match Day 10 is this weekend. Let's get after it. Is it just me or are these picks getting like better odds than they used to be? I feel like the sports books are wising up on Major League Soccer just a little bit. It was harder this week to make some great picks, but I think we have a pretty good show here for you today. Scott, how are you doing today?
I'm good. I'm doing really good. The sun is out, but it's cold. It's a very strange day in the Mountain West, but it's all good. How are you?
Not bad. Not bad.
Not bad.
A little rainy day here, so it's hard to get to get active and going, but I think I'll stay awake for the broadcast. Jeremy, how you doing today?
It's been good. Big win for Roma today. We're moving on. Liverpool's out of the Europa League, so time to add another trophy to the cabinet.
Good luck.
Just
to
rub
you.
It into Scott.
That one hurts.
Anfield sign behind him there. Okay, let's get into some picks. My first pick here is Charlotte FC hosting Minnesota United. My co-host Alex is not here with us tonight. Always says watching Charlotte play soccer is like an SEC atmosphere. They've been averaging 35,544 fans per match. That's through all of last season, which is the second highest in Major League Soccer. They haven't been clinical enough this season. I've, jumped on Kerwin Vargas and a couple of other guys, but I think Charlotte has what it takes to beat Minnesota United at home today. Minnesota right now is a little bit of a mess. We found some news about Reynoso, who's been missing. And he missed his team assigned green card appointment. That's not a good thing. He stayed down in Argentina. Minnesota United is currently on a 3-game winless streak. That is a draw sandwich on lost bread, if you will. Draw sandwich on lost bread. Usually people get that wrong and actually name the bread as the sandwich. Okay. Anyway, Minnesota just lost 2-1 to Houston at home. That's something that they should have taken care of easily and something they take care of in a week to week, which just shows me how much we need to be fading Minnesota right now. As a result, Minnesota hasn't had a strong number 10. They're not feeding Pukki, and they've relied on auxiliary players to score like wingers, Longwane, Lode. Even the results they're getting are not their plan A. So that scares me for Minnesota United. The new coach bump is kind of over. Charlotte FC, almost even money, minus 102 at home. I think that's a solid bet to get us started this week.
Yeah, I do think this is a bet that you should feel good about. Charlotte at home is the real kicker. Charlotte at home is a very strong team. Charlotte on the road, bang average at best. But at home, incredibly dangerous. They're a team who create a lot of chances. And the difference between them being a great team this season and being the seventh place team that they are is finishing. When they can finish, they are as dangerous a team at home as there is in the league. The thing for me that really tips this towards Charlotte is in the defensive quality between these two teams. Minnesota is another team that can be very offensively dangerous, and there's an argument to be made they're a little bit better on the road than they are at home. However, Minnesota's defense just gives up a little bit more than Charlotte's does. It's close, but for me, that's just enough to tip it. I think Charlotte at home, a little bit better defense. This is one that you can kind of rely on.
Yeah, and this is also one of the bets on my scorecard this week, which is like, I would take either home team in this matchup. That I think is what's pushing me. And to get even money, there we go. Jeremy, do you have any opinions on Charlotte FC against Minnesota?
When I was on the show last, Minnesota was getting ready to play LAFC, and I was all over Minnesota. It was going to be their first game for their new head coach, Eric Ramsey. And it's really funny because they seem to have gotten worse. They were doing better under the interim than they were under Ramsey right now. And a lot of that is due to what you said. They're not feeding Pukki. There are questions to, even if Reynoso was there, how much he'd really be able to help with like the new, like, I guess, club vision that they're doing, which is just a lot more defending on the front foot. So, Charlotte, they have impressed me purely because of their fan base so far, made the playoffs last year. And I'm really excited to see what Leo Labada continues to do, because he was a very, very underrated signing coming in. He got a goal last week. So, I think the Charlotte party continues.
I actually have my St. Louis scarf right here today. Look at how nice that is. Look at that. Mm-hmm. Look at that. I'll be wearing that this weekend as Minnesota gets beaten. Let's move to the next pick. And this was Jeremy's pick, and it involves Scott's favorite team, RSL plus 192 at Chicago Fire. I just watched Chicago Fire this past week at Red Bull Arena. They did not look good. They were a man up for more than 45 minutes and did absolutely nothing with it. Now, that's against one of the best defenses in the league. RSL is not that. Tell me why RSL is going to win this matchup.
RSL last year, after they got Chicho Horango, instantly became an MLS Cup dark horse. Now, that didn't play out in the playoffs. They ran into a very good Houston team. But now with a full offseason, Chicho is an MVP candidate. Last week, they did play Columbus after Columbus was able to beat they advanced past Tigres. They didn't beat them. They won on penalties. But they did advance to the next round in CONCACAF. So they gave a good portion of their starters a rest. And RSL should have won that game, but the finishing was just there. Just not there. Now they're going on the road to face a weaker team. Chicago is not good. Nothing that Chicago has done has inspired me. I think Kuypers bringing him in was, it's kind of like in football when you put a quarterback behind a patchwork offensive line where it's like, okay, like he might be able to do something, but he doesn't have all the necessary components in order to make him become elite. So I feel like Chicago thought too far ahead. They went for the striker first when they really, really need another 10, because Shaqiri is not it. I'm lower on Brian Gutierrez than a lot of people, but right now he is their best chance creator that they have. And that's just not a recipe for success. RSL is going to get back to winning ways. This is very easy. And I love, love, love a good road dog.
I mean, we love road odds on this show for sure. Maybe it's my emotional tie. I'm not as confident about this one. RSL just anecdotally don't seem to do quite as well when they travel east. So that's just been a bit of a hang up for them going on the road, going east. I do think that both of these teams are sort of actually on, you know, a level, a bit of parity there between the offenses. They have roughly similar stats, RSL a little bit better. But Chicago's offense is the one thing that I think they actually do kind of well. It's everything else about Chicago that kind of breaks down, especially in transition and their transition defense. So they get hit on the counter pretty badly. That is going to be the key. If RSL can hit Chicago on the counter with their speed, then yes, RSL can absolutely do some damage. If Chicago is able to kind of get back, transition, and set up in kind of a block, that's going to be the one where RSL struggles, and that game could end up going to a draw.
Something I found here interesting with Chicago, Chase Gasper, their left back, is out of order. He won't be playing in this match. So that means they're going to have Soquet, who's playing right back. He's the backup right back on the left side. Who on RSL as a right winger can exploit that?
Well, you're talking about Andres Gomez. Andres Gomez has honestly some fairly elite stats, underlying numbers regarding chances created and expected assists and actual assists and all of that. However, there's still a little bit of like development to be done with his decision-making and that final pass. So he gets himself into great positions, and sometimes he's still a very young player. Sometimes that quality is not there. He could be taking advantage of that opportunity playing against not the starting left back. Yeah. taking advantage, not against the starting left back. If it's on the right side, you're talking about Diego Luna, your favorite hamster. Probably not going to beat him with speed, but definitely with guile. He is a player that has that quality, and his decision-making is more consistent. So there, you know, you could be seeing quite a bit of, you know, danger coming from those wing players.
I agree. Love that pick. Let's go on to a homer bet. Now, this, I had to have my picks in for my other MLS show. on Tuesday morning by noon Eastern time. So I went with a homer pick. LAFC is hosting Red Bull New York. Red Bull is +302 currently, but you can get Red Bull on the double chance at +0.5 at -115. So we're taking the double chance there. Why can't Red Bull walk into LA and leave with 3 points? I mean, we've talked about Red Bull, and I've, you know, admittedly been a homer many times on this squad, but here's my philosophy around Red Bull this year. They're not going to compete with the likes of Columbus in Columbus. We saw that they got spanked, right? A Wilfred Nancy can break this team down, but the style Red Bull play, getting turnovers, forcing pressure, you know, playing just a little better than they've been. And they're really steering other teams' offenses. It's not just press the ball. It's leave certain lanes open, close certain lanes, really direct play, even though you don't have the ball. That means that Red Bull is going to be in a lot of games this season. LAFC hasn't been very good. We've talked about Buanga, and one fact about Buanga I want to pull up. He has made 43 shots. That's 10 more than any player in Major League Soccer, only 11 of which have landed on target and only 3 goals. That's 25.6% of his shots being on target. That's not good enough from a player who's supposed to be a star. He's currently at -2.9 goals minus expected goals. He's not contributing. Bogush, you know, he's played, and he's been hot and cold. This LAFC team has not been what they've been in the past, and I think Red Bull can go in and get a win outright. I'm going to sprinkle a little +302 on that, but at -115 for the double chance, best. One of the best teams in the East, one of the mediocre teams of the West. It could happen. And you're going to see this Red Bull team throughout the season. They're going to drop some weird points. Yeah, they were down a man against Chicago. Still should have won that game. You know, they're going to beat some teams you don't expect them to. This could be one of those.
Ooh, it's an interesting one. Before I go, Jeremy, do you have any thoughts?
You said LAFC is mediocre, and that's exactly what they are. They defend really well. I'm going to give them credit for that. They should be able to defend a little bit better at home. We saw what they did against the Galaxy, which I think was a very impressive performance because of how they were able to limit Paintsil, Peck, Ricky Pooj. Last week they came up to Portland. But once again, that attack, there are so many questions in that LAFC attack. And it's not even just Buanga. I'm not really a big believer in Oliveira. And they don't really have anyone behind him unless David Martinez is going to be healthy enough to play this game. He hasn't been he wasn't healthy enough last week in Portland, and he was suspended for the red card for El Tráfico. So there are just tons of questions all over this LAFC team. And I do believe that certain teams can go into BMO Stadium, impose their will on the game, and take the points. Like, no matter how much they try to convince you that it's a really, really tough place to play away, the right team, and I think this Red Bulls team is the right team, they can definitely get a result done, 100%.
Not easy. This is probably my least confident pick of the day, but since I'm straddling it with the double chance on the spread pick, it made me a little more comfortable. If I really thought 100%, I'd be taking the +302 juice.
So here's my thing about it. LAFC is currently league leaders in expected goal. They're underperforming that, yes. Fairly dramatically, yes. But they are a team who still create a lot of chances. They're a very creative team. Let's be honest. Buanga is not going to continue to be this version of Buanga all season. At some point, like he kind of did against the Galaxy, he will figure it out and he will put goals away. Will it be this week? You know, who knows? But the thing that about this game that really worries me is I watched Wilfred Nancy's Columbus Crew, you know, break apart and take apart this Red Bulls team. And one of the keys to that was exploiting space on the wings. And the Crew especially used Cucho's movement and positioning to perfection. Denny Buanga is capable of that. And so if this LAFC team can get the passing together and can get the tactics right and can, you know, put Buanga into space to really make that Red Bull backline uncomfortable, then, you know what, they're kind of capable, not to the same degree that Columbus did it, but they are capable of replicating some of what Columbus did. And that is what worries me. LAFC at home with Buanga you know, having a little bit of tape to study, I think they're capable. I think they're capable. So you ask for, give me a reason why the Red Bulls can't do it. I think that's it right there for me.
Last stat for you. Red Bulls lead the league in 6.2 expected goals. That's the lowest any defense has allowed so far this season. Let's move on and talk a little bit about the Seattle Sounders, who are hosting the Vancouver Whitecaps. Now, Seattle, at this point, we know what they are. They are not the perennial MLS Cup team that they've been in years past. Let their number 10, Nicolò Daro, walk. He's in Orlando now. And that offense has never really recovered. They're underachieving all over the field. Their plan was Pedro de la Vega was going to be all the youth, all the health, all the creativity, and he hasn't been with the team. He's been injured. So they didn't have a plan B, and that scares me a little bit for Seattle Sounders. We've seen a little bit of return to form by Raul Ruiz Diaz and stuff like that, but those players have lost a little bit on over the course of the last few years for sure. Vancouver, on the other hand, +4 goals minus expected goals. They've been very clinical so far this season, and they're doing it with the players they want to do it with. It's their forwards. Brian White, Ryan Gold, Fafa Pico all have multiple goals this year. They've allowed 9 goals in 7 games. That 3-5 man back line they've been rolling out is really, really been good. Whitecaps +0.5 is -120. They're also +275 just to win. I'm going to be betting heavily on Whitecaps with the spread, and I'm going to be sprinkling some Vancouver to win. Same strategy as we're going with for Red Bull, and I think we have a really good chance to leave with a result here. This pick was also made by Jeremy, so we're going to go to him first.
Seattle. They need a win more than any team in the league, purely just so they can at least look like everyone expected them to look. But this has been a trend for Seattle, and I'd actually argue that it wasn't Ladero leaving that has brought them down this road. Albert Rusnak was brought in to be the DP10 in 2022. He's barely played there. He usually they like to play him deeper in the midfield, usually next to Joao Paulo. But then towards the end of last season, they finally moved him back to the 10 role. He actually did pretty well, had an affinity for scoring late on in games. And they found their preferred midfield pairing between Josh Atencio and Joao Paulo. For the start of this year, Joao Paulo has been out. He is the most important player on that team, not just from all of his work in the run of play, but also from his set piece delivery. So he's slowly gaining health back. Vancouver, on the other hand, they have found what works. I think they found it last year with this back five, that because they don't really have any true wingbacks on that team. They chose not to bring back Richie Larea in the offseason. So they've actually been playing some kind of central midfield type players out on the wing and just trusting them to cover a ton of ground up and down. That's going to be huge for the Seattle game, because Seattle, they like to build through the wings. They want to play long diagonals, get their wingers involved, and have their wingers play the final ball into the middle where either Raul Ruiz Diaz or Jordan Morris cutting in from the left can finish it. Those balls have not been there this year. That 5-0 win against Montreal was an aberration. That was an exhausted Montreal team at the end of a 6-game road trip. I do not have a lot of faith in the Seattle Sounders, but I do have a lot of faith in Vancouver to rebound from this Galaxy loss, because it was 2 defensive mistakes that allowed 2 very good players, Puig and Paints. Sorry, they have so many P's on that. It was those 2 defensive mistakes that I'm sure Vanni Sartini is going to clear up, because Seattle is not as dynamic as the LA Galaxy are. And even when they are presented with those chances like they were against Dallas, they're not going to score them. This is a Vancouver.
I also lean Vancouver, but I like the double chance. Seattle's offense inspires absolutely no faith. Most of their goals, especially if you discount that Montreal game, most of their goals are penalty. That's not something that you can really rely on. You can't rely on getting those called for you. Other than that, you know, Seattle, they're not creative enough, or they're not clinical enough. They have quite a high sort of expected goal count, but I think it's more of a volume rather than quality thing. It's not that they are spurning some good chances, but they're also just creating a lot of just kind of low quality chances that teams are able to take care of fairly easily. So there's just not a lot of faith there. Their defense, though, their defense is pretty good.
Their defense is very good, actually. I'm pulling that stat up right now. New York Red Bull, Columbus Crew, FC Cincinnati, Atlanta United, Houston Dynamo, and Seattle Sounders all have 7 goals against this season, which is a very low number. All those other teams are getting respect for it. This team is not.
This team, and that is an elite number in this league. Seattle's defense has been incredible, and they have done a huge chunk of that without Stephen Fry. So this is not like a team that is ready to give up a lot of goals here. Vancouver is a team that usually doesn't generate a ton of chances, but they usually make, you know, good on the chances they do generate. They're incredibly efficient. I don't think they're going to get a lot of opportunities to score in this game, especially on the road against an elite defense. I see this game just being very, very low scoring in general. I trend Vancouver. I think if one of the teams is going to have a chance and have the quality, it's going to be Vancouver. But for me, I'm looking at like the under for this game, which for the under for 2.5 is like -105. So almost even money for 2 goals. That to me seems like not a bad bet.
Love it. Now let's go to the next one. This next game is going, I think, to be a slaughter. Columbus Crew hosting Portland Timbers. Columbus Crew is -165. I'm going to dabble on that. But those aren't the odds I like to give out on my show. I want to win that big bread, right? And earlier this week when I was on the BetUS show, one of my co-hosts mentioned that Columbus Crew to score in the first half was a bet just about even money. We saw Portland Timbers give up, 3 against SKC just a few weeks ago all in the first half. Now, Portland went on to tie that game. That's not going to happen in this match. But look at this bet. Crew to win the first half and the second half at +140.
Interesting. So that means that if you counted those as 2 separate games, the Crew would just be ahead at outplaying. Yeah, Wimble. Yes. But that means you need the Crew to score in both halves, right?
Yes. Which is also a great bet in the
I think Portland's defense is terrible.
Real bad.
Real bad. Portland's defense is real bad. And let's see now. Is Cucho available for this game? Or is his suspension's over?
He is available. His suspension is over. He talked about it a little bit today, and it seemed like he had a really good attitude. He's like, still no one's saying what he did, and I just want to know for no reason other than I'm just really nosy and want to know what happened there. His suspension is over. He will be with the team, and apparently he's practiced real hard all week, so he's ready to go.
Yeah. You know what? I watched Columbus live in person when they were here in Salt Lake, even without Cucho. Extremely good team. It just verified everything I've seen on TV about, they are a legitimately great team, and I think you would be crazy to pick again most of the time.
Jeremy, you're so confident you took a pretty bad odds pick on this. Let's talk about it.
For me, it's not so much about the Crew winning. It's more about how many goals are going to be scored. I love the over in this game. If you took every single game the Timbers have played this year, and you just counted up the goals scored by both teams, you would have an average of 4 goals scored by any team in each game. So that's no secret how bad the Timbers' defense is. They will be without Maxime Crépeau for this game. He is serving that red card suspension. But James Pantemis, one of the more underrated backups in this league, he's also had a pretty good job, and he's also done a pretty good job in 2 spot starts this year. For me, the Timbers have a legitimate attack. They have a very weak defense. So the question is, in order for that bet to hit, Portland just needs to score a goal. And I have full confidence that they will be able to score a goal in this, because the other factor that's on Columbus's side is they have to travel to Monterey in the middle of next week. And we don't know how much they're really going to rotate for this game, because you can't go to Monterey and lose 3-0. You can't do that. You have to put up a fight there if you want to have a chance in the second. And what we saw from Miami was they went down there and they just laid flat and just gave up. They surrendered in there. So Nancy has to be really, really, really cautious for how much minutes the starters are going to get in this game. And because they do want to win CCL. They really, really, really do. So... but the good news is they have the quality depth to be able to do. So the question is just how much Nancy's going to rotate on Saturday. I don't think he rotates a ton. I do think Columbus wins this game, but if it's like 2-0 at the end of the first half, Portland could score one in the second half. It's a 2-1 game. So
I don't think Nancy needs to rotate wholesale. And in fact, I think
Cucho just sat 2 weeks. I mean, that's really what the suspension was about, wasn't it?
That's sort of the thing is Cucho has, he had like a 2-week suspension for internal stuff, and then he got a red card and sat again. And if anything, I think Nancy will be looking at this and saying, I need to make sure that this guy actually gets some form back in him. Cause he's just had a rough period of, you know, 3 or 4 weeks of not being very great, you know, not being up to his own standard. And I think Wilfred Nancy will look at that and say, you know what? I actually need the, like my starting group to be on the field for a bit and get some chemistry going again and get Cucho back firing and creating and scoring, you know, and Portland is a great team for them to go do it against. I like the over.
I like the over too. Columbus and the total over 2.5 goals is +120. So if you want an even money bet, you get a little juice on that. That's going to be a nice pick to get us going this weekend. Let's finish up now in this last pick. Jeremy is on the fence, so we're going to decide whether this becomes his pick or not by talking about it live on air. That's DC United at NYCFC +260. NYCFC is almost on my do not bet list because every time I want to pick on them, they pull something out. Are they going to pull it out this weekend, or is DC United going to take 3 points?
My gut was, as soon as I was looking at this week's board, my gut was just saying DC, DC. I've also learned that Mateus Click will be injured. I think Click is this year's award winner for the Hector Herrera most underrated player because of how much he brings to DC's team. So he is going to be a big miss, but also they've been really, really good pressing. And I think at like, what's the number? Like +260 is what I have. I think that's definitely worth a sprinkle because NYCFC, I'm just not confident in them at all. I don't care whether or not they're at home. They're still having trouble figuring out how to play together, specifically in the attack. Bakrar continues to find every single good chance in the world and not be able to finish it. And DC, they are second in MLS in total expected goals. They are underperforming it, but it just seems like this is a good game for DC to like finally put their shooting boots back on.
I agree. And when you look at DC United's numbers, a lot of that is because Jared Stroud is being expected to do a whole lot and he's missing every chance he gets. But DC United, they could, you know, Benteke can go off for 3 goals in this match. You know, Pirani has finally started looking good for them too. So DC United has multiple ways to score. NYCFC has Mounsef Bakar.
Yeah.
Kind of it for me.
We've had that conversation. I'm kind of there with you. I actually, you know, we as a group on this show have been high on DC for a bit, you know, to a limit, you know, for sure. But we think they're a good team. A fundamentally good team. We think they know who they are. We know how they know how they want to play, and they're committed to that. And their tactics aren't bad. Their defense is pretty good. Yeah, they're going to be missing Aaron Herrera. Yeah, they're going to be missing Mateus Click, but they have enough other quality to make stuff happen. And I do think this, you know, it comes down to which offense do you believe in more? And you believe more in Benteke, you know? And it's not at Yankee Stadium. For me, that's the big one too. If it's at Yankee Stadium, forget it. Don't touch it. But it's not at Yankee Stadium. And so it could be literally anywhere else. It doesn't matter. It's not at Yankee Stadium. It's not a true home game for NYCFC. They're not as good at Citi Field. They're just not. So, you know, it plays in better, actually. A little more space. Put that ball in the box. Put it in the air. Let Benteke go up and get it.
I like it. I agree. And these coaches do know each other because, you know, Troy Lesane from Red Bull, Cushing for NYCFC, that's going to be kind of a little sub story, a little subplot to keep your eye on this week. I absolutely love DC United here. And I might have to add that to my scorecard. I think that was a really good pick, Jeremy. Hopefully we can talk you back into that. Jeremy, thank you so much for being on our show tonight. Let us know where we can find your work.
CascadiaFC.substack.com. Preview articles, recap articles, anything you need to know about the Portland Timbers, or you can also just follow me on Twitter for more Timbers news and just other nonsense. I'm a purveyor of nonsense on, and
welcome to Twitter. Scott, any last words?
Not really. I just want to call out Jeremy's hat here, actually. I think that's a good one. Jeremy knows.
It's their final year. It's their final year at Smith's. It's breaking my heart. I used to live there for a year.
I used to do some work there when I was working with the university. It's a nice ballpark.
Neither I nor the people listening to the audio on this pod knows what the heck any of you are talking about.
I will explain. Jeremy's got a Salt Lake Bees hat on. The Bees are a minor league team, feeder for the Angels that play in Salt Lake City. Smith's ballpark is one of the great views for ballparks. And they're a fun minor league team with a great view. It's a nice evening act.
Another nice evening activity is going on to YouTube and subscribing to The Designated Pundits. You can find us anywhere you listen to podcasts. Just type in The Designated Pundits or go to thedesignatedpundits.com. Thank you, everyone, and have a wonderful week. Good luck.